but not least, I want to introduce my friend, Bishop Reuben. Bishop Reuben Kawenzi from Nairobi, Kenya. Specifically, his church is in Eastleigh, and we have been there. We've made 7 different trips to Kenya, and every time it's been such a delight. And it's been 3 years since we got to see you, brother, here, and because of COVID and travel restrictions and other things. And so it's just such a privilege to have Reuben here. Now, I believe with all my heart that Bishop Reuben is one of those people who are a hero who is among us. And we don't always know that. We don't always recognize that. But I can tell you that he went home and he planted a church after being trained in college here. He went home. He had planted a church before he came, I think, actually. Got 6 friends, and they formed a network. And Disciples Temple Church has now planted another 300 or so churches. And there's a network of, last check, 3,000 or whatever in all around the world. And so that's a lot to accomplish in one lifetime. And brother, we love you. And we just open up our hearts and this pulpit to you and welcome you this morning. Can we give Bishop Reuben a nice hero's welcome? There you go, brother.
Thank you, Pastor Rich. God bless you. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
It's been 23 years since I met this man. Went to a meeting. Some of you have heard the story. Of pastors here in Harrisburg. I was coming from Lewisburg. I just come back from Kenya and met almost 50 pastors. That was 99, and only 2 of them showed up to say hi. And Pastor Rich and Pastor Fred Tide, where I'm staying right now, came up, and we got stuck together since then. And he's been in Kenya. And Kenya misses you already. It's good to see each one of you. It's been 3 years, and I'm so grateful the Lord spared you of the COVID. And that one, we can't take it for granted. That was one messy year. We have a joke in Kenya. We didn't have 2020. It wasn't in the calendar. But the Lord spared us. We closed church from March to August, we stayed home. We followed people who were doing live stream. I wanted to do it, but I was a little bit discouraged because some, maybe half of our members do not have an Android phone, so they can't follow anything online. So it was kind of frustrating. So I would do a service in the house, and my sons would record it, and then we have a WhatsApp group in the church for those who have an Android phone, and then I would post what I shared. But then I would just call those who have no Android and send just the text message on the scripture that I preached on, but that is so limited. Then when we reopened in August, we were only allowed to have 15 members in one service. That was very difficult for me to decide who comes this Sunday and who, and everybody wanted to show up. One of the most frustrating thing we got as a church was when they couldn't allow us to have our Friday overnight prayers from 9 to 5 in the morning. That was very hard. I know we can pray at home, but there's something about fellowship. I mean, I don't care. A lot of people after COVID realize they can still stay home and be okay. It's not. I would rather be here with you. Amen. See you and feel you and lay hands on me. I lay hands on you. And that fellowship is different than staying at home and watching a television service. I don't know about you. But it's good to be here. Greetings from my family, Margaret and the boys. All taller than me. I am the shortest in the house. And please don't check my Facebook and look at them. You will think I'm the last born. And it's just good to be with you. I got here, it's almost 3 weeks now, actually 3 weeks. And I went to her. This is my shortest trip in the U.S. since 3 years ago. I'll be sharing that with you. Allow me today to just share to you the message in wholesale. I'll read the scripture, but I'll also touch with you some of the things God is doing back home. Very exciting, good news. God is working all over the world. God is working all over the world. Sometimes we have a tendency to look at the negative and get frustrated. Probably you just had an election. It happened while I was in Ohio. You're probably disappointed in Pennsylvania. But let me tell you something. God is working behind the scenes. And as that song we sang today, he is at the center of everything. And everything, including Pennsylvania, revolves around God. So I choose to look at the positive side. I know there's a lot of negativity happening all over the world. You know, can you imagine in 2020 you never watched any football game? I watched when I was in Ohio this past week. There was a game Ohio was playing. And the Pastor Randy took me around the stadium. And it was packed. You people love football. We have the real football. And by the way, World Cup is starting today. Some of you don't even care about that. But it's amazing how one plague stopped the whole world. One. Egypt had 10. The world had one, and we went quiet. But I still don't understand someone who doesn't know the Lord. Because even in the midst of this, we saw God at work. He was still, everything revolved around him. And we realized, for without him, we can do nothing. Amen. So I want to very quickly share with you some of the things. About 5 or so years ago, the Lord spoke to me to go to Northern Kenya. That is, we call it Turkana. If you're in the States, you'll probably say Turkana, T-U-R-K-A-N-A. But let me just pronounce it the way we do it back home, Turkana. And it was that voice like that of Abraham. When God tells him to go to where he didn't know where. You know, in back home, as an elder, when you're walking, there's a tendency when you're walking in the shopping center or close to a shopping mall, all the elders sitting will greet you and they know one another. And they can say, hi, Bob, hi, James, how, Tom. And they will want to know, where are you going? There's a tendency to want to know where you're going. It has nothing but more or less like getting to know where you're going. It's also for security purpose. Should anything happen, they know he passed through here and he told us he was going to Lititz, Pennsylvania. And I can imagine Abraham walking and meeting some of those elderly men. And they say, hi, Abraham, how you doing? And then he goes, where are you going? And the guy goes, I don't know. It looked a bit stupid. When you're going and driving at 65 miles an hour and someone gives you a call and asks you, are you on the road? Yeah, where are you going? I don't know. What? Are you on 81 North? Yeah. And where are you going? I don't know. That's the kind of calling Abraham had. But I want us to look at someone else today that we all know, Gideon. Gideon had a very interesting story. And I want to read a scripture in Judges chapter 6, and I'll read from the message translation. And I'll just read from verses 11 to 16, Judges chapter 6, and then I'll share a few things, just looking at Gideon's faith. God is dealing with his faith. There are times, has God ever spoken to you when you're in the midst of a storm and you almost think, did you miss the address? Are you in the wrong country? I think you knocked. Last week I was going through, I'm staying on along Carlisle Pike at the Harvest House. And so daytime I walk around and knock on people's doors and witness to them. So It's crazy, especially chocolate man here knocking on vanilla. Ding, ding, ding. So I knocked on this one house, and the guy comes, opens, and he's like, whoa, never seen this guy, this dude in this neighborhood. And I didn't have my Bible on. I had it in my heart, and I have one in my phone. He said, my name is Reuben Kawinzi. I come from Kenya in Nairobi, and I'm coming here to share about Jesus. I am not interested. When they do that, I go to the next door. I went, ding, 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 park the car, knock on the door. And this gentleman opens the door, looks at me, says, how can I help you? My name is Reuben Kawinzi. I come from Kenya, and I come to share the good news. Oh, welcome in. Yeah. There's always that place there. Someone bangs on you, say, I'm not interested. Has God ever spoken to you when you're such a mess and you almost think, I think you missed the address. The address is the next door. This is what is happening with Gideon here. And the scripture says in Judges 6, one day, this is the Message translation, verse 11. One day the angel of God came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, whose son Gideon was threshing wheat in the winepress, out of sight of the Midianites. The angel of God appeared to him and said, God is with you, mighty warrior. I think, God, you miss. You came to the wrong country for the wrong guy. But I love that scenario, and I want you to see. I love being literal with the scripture. The scripture says he sat down. You know what he's saying to Gideon? It's not what you see. It's what I see in you. It's not what surrounds you, Gideon. It's what I see in you that concerns my heart. And I want to let Cornerstone know this morning, God has invested a lot of faith in you. And what are you doing with that investment? That's what God was looking at Gideon. I have invested so much. I know you are in the wrong place. You are in the wrong place. You're sitting in a cave. Let me call it that way. You're grinding wheat and getting to hide. How much could he have hidden for the whole nation? But you know, Gideon is fighting 100,000 demons called the Midianites. He's so scared. He doesn't understand how to start and where to start. The only thing Gideon knows is to hide this and keep it for himself. And he said, God comes and he doesn't say and start rebuking and saying, shame on you. How dare you? No. God looks at Gideon and said, mighty warrior. God looks at Gideon and say, I don't care what you see. I don't know. I don't care how afraid you were. I see the potential in you. That's what I want to use. And look at Gideon. He's still kind of not sure. He goes, Gideon replied, with me, my master, me, mighty warrior, me. If God is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all the miracle wonders our parents and grandparents told us about, telling us, didn't God deliver us from Egypt? The fact is, God has nothing to do with us. He has turned us over to Midian. 5 years ago, God spoke to me to go to Turkana. It's northern part of Kenya. This is where the refugee camp is. And I didn't know why I'm going there. I told the church I'm going. I knew those people needed clothes, so I asked the members of the Disciples Temple, bring all your clothes that are in good shape, that you don't wear, your children don't use, they have outgrown them, and pack them. We pack big bales, and we send them by a truck ahead. It takes 2 days to get there. So we went there a day ahead. I went with Pastor Moses. We went there, two of us. I called the pastors of that community in Kakuma. I did a breakfast for them, and I said, I want to ask you, how can we work together with you? I don't know why I'm here, But God told me to come. I have no intentions of starting any church. It's so funny. Now we have planted 10 churches in 5 years. 10 in 5. I lied to them. But I was honest. I didn't know what I was there for. And I remember one of the pastors looking at me said, "You know, when you're in the refugee camp, that's the only life you know. They are not allowed to live there. If they come to Nairobi, they must get a letter from the UN because there are so many roadblocks, police roadblocks, taking the identity of everybody passing that road to Nairobi and see if you have any identification. If you don't, they return you back or deport you back to your country, and you ran there because of trouble. So when we have a conference for pastors, I have to write a letter and take it. They take it to the UN office so that they get a letter to come and allow them to travel safely. But anyway, one of the pastors said, "When we came to this country as a church, we only see UN, the UN people, we only see the government officials coming." Then he looked at me and said, "Where is the Kenyan church to receive us, to embrace us?" And that kind of struck me, and then kind of the Lord started opening. That's why I needed you here. That's why I want you here. You know, they had to give us a Turkana name. They gave me a Turkana name. When we started going there, giving food to the children, they looked so unhealthy. We started giving porridge to the kids. They started getting excited, and they started saying the rain has finally come. So they gave me a name that means a big mountain that draws rain. It's called Emoru, big mountain. So I'm a big mountain. And we started going there and seeing lives change, children lives smiling and enjoying. And we started like a project in our church where people bring their outgrown clothes that they don't use. They talk to their neighbors, and we pack them. And then when we have a big bill, we put them together for women, for children, and for men. And then we send them over, and the pastors can start sharing. One of the churches we started attending there, they were meeting under a tree. Every church we started, we have built 5 so far out of the 10, you know, by the grace of God, because of faithful people like Cornerstone who continually support us. And we were able to build that. The first church we were sitting under a tree, there was a river. And the river, when it rained, the river caused the trees to fall down. So the branches that were there, that's what we sat, like the seats in the church, under somewhere open. So I asked the pastor, "Jackson, what happens when it rains? We don't show up. We stay home." You know, and sometimes I went back and said, "We need to repent." I told the church in Nairobi, "We need to repent. Many times we're so spoiled. We complain, oh, this kind of food, this kind of show, this church, it's not like another church, it's not like this." There are people who have nothing. They worship under a tree. And even when it doesn't rain, it's so flat that when the wind blows, the dust hits your face. They are busy singing, "I'm here covering my face, I'm not used to it." But we started doing this, and I felt like Gideon. Why? And those people, it's like, "Why have you forsaken us? Where are the miracles that our fathers showed us?" And the Bible says in verse 14, I said I would touch the scripture and what we're doing in a wholesale. But God faced him directly. "Go in the strength that is yours and save Israel from Midian. Haven't I just sent you? Go in this strength of yours to Turkana, to Kakuma." You know, we started feeding the kids and giving them porridge every Sunday morning, feeding over 300 to 1,000 kids every Sunday. And one day I'm sitting with the kids. I love when they sing their songs. They sing Turkana. I don't understand it. And I'm going to show you a short video. It's a miracle that happened. I'm sitting down. The kids are talking to me. Of course, I have a translator, but they speak Swahili. And I'm sitting down, I'm feeling like a bug touching my leg, and I just brush it off. Then and second time I feel is it something, and then before I hit it out, it was a little boy sitting down trying to get my attention, and he wanted to tell me something. Let me show you a video here, and before I explain that. That boy with the red, and there's another one to his left. He'll come shortly. But, don't worry, they're talking Swahili. I'll translate later.
I've just been talking to these kids, and they're all asking for clothes and shoes and uniform. The Lord provides for them. They want it, and we know the Lord is going to provide. Thank you, guys. God bless you.
So the boy with the red and the next one was the one that was touching my legs, and I looked at him, and he looks at me and say, Bishop Reuben, we want some shoes. Our feet are getting burned. So that's when I asked them to come, a few of them, and I took that video for them saying that, and I posted it in our church WhatsApp group, and I sent it to them in Nairobi, and I said, please talk to the church on Sunday. Every parent, talk to your kids. I mean, take the shoes they don't use or they have outgrown them. Talk to your neighbors. We need about 300 pairs of shoes. And we started collecting them. One of the families, there's a big market in Nairobi for secondhand clothing and shoes. Now, it's tricky because if you buy a big bale of shoes, 100 pairs, you might be lucky if you get half of that shoes are matching. So they prayed before they went, and they bought this one big bale, 100 pairs of shoes. They came to the church, started unpacking them, and every one of them was matching. So in 3 months, we were able to collect over 300 pairs of shoes. I tried to look for that picture to give Chris, but I couldn't find it. And we went to the church that we had built, that pastor. We put them on the front, poured them all them, and all the kids, about 300 plus kids, were seated down on the floor. And about seven of us stood there, and we would call one by one, and everyone would pick what fits them. And we were able to have each one of them go home with a pair of shoes. But before we left Nairobi, I sneaked in some pairs of shoes for these two boys, because to me, they were the cause of that miracle. And I sneaked them in, and I said, this one, I'll specifically give it to them. I had to guess the shoe size. Thank God it worked. And that's... Actually, this is my shortest visit in the U.S., 5 weeks. You know, I stayed 2 months, 2.5 months, because we always give them a Christmas meal. So if I don't go back this December, they will hate me forever. So I'm going back on 5th, and we're planning to have a Christmas meal in several villages. We get there, and we have to hire a four-wheel drive, getting inside the bush, meet all these kids. And we send the money first to the pastor. They buy the food, the rice, and all that, and prepare so that by the time we get into the village, we find the ladies have cooked the meal, and we serve kids. Some a village may have 50 to 100, 200. We feed all the kids, and then we leave there, go to a next, maybe about 3 villages in one day. And it's hot. And we've been able to see them, you know, giving to the society and seeing these Gideons arising. Who knows what will become of these children in the future? And I want us, as we go home today, that God will help you not to start complaining that you don't have this, you may not get this over Christmas, you may not have the gift you want. There's someone who has zero getting that plate. I remember when we started giving, when I was giving food for, we've done this 3 years now. Every Christmas, we go there, we cook the meal, we share with the kids, and we usually go in December, this before or during Christmas week, and we stay a whole week, every single day, going to different villages. We not only give them the food to children, but we also give them to the parents food they can carry home, corn and beans and rice and stuff like that to take home so that they have something to cook for their children. And I want to encourage us. I know some of us here feel like Gideon in a threshing, trying to grind something. You feel what's around you is something you don't know when you will come out of it. Gideon didn't look, all he looked was about himself. He was so full of himself, he couldn't see what God had invested inside his heart, that I can use it. It's possible for you to overcome the Midianites. It's possible for you to overcome what is inside of you. And if you, someone one time told me, when you are going through a storm or you are sick, go and pray for someone else who is sick. Does it make sense? It doesn't. But that's way. Because when you're doing that, God begins. God is finding Gideon. He even sits down with him. And the first words that come out of God's mouth is, "Mighty man of valor. You mighty warrior." And Gideon is like, "I don't think so. I am surrounded by the Midianites. They're killing us. They're stealing our food. They're stealing our cattle. Why are you calling me mighty warrior? Whatever surrounds me is chaos. My family is in chaos." I'll never forget one time I was here in the States and I walked in a Burger King. It was at night after 9 p.m. And then I'm lining up to buy some double whopper. I don't know whether they sell it there. I forgot that. Yeah. And I'm lining up, and there's a gentleman right in front of me. And you know those voices? You kind of try to say, "Get off." And I'm hearing, "Talk to him." And I'm thinking, "Yeah, right. This is Friday night in a Burger King. It's so packed." Mm-mm. Ding, 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 talk to him. And I say, "No. Have you?" I'm thinking, "This is crazy. I'm Kenyan. I have an accent. What are you talking about?" "Talk to him." I say, "No." "Have you ever told God no with those open eyes?" "No." Because everything around you is screaming, "You cannot do that." So he ordered his food. Very interesting. On a Friday night, Burger King is packed. And this time it wasn't takeaway. I wanted to eat from there. This guy sits down somewhere alone. There was no one else. I ordered my meal. I went and I made sure I sat the very opposite from him. I don't want to do it. I sat down and everybody is buying and no one sat close to that table and no one came to my table, and I opened my meal and the voice was as loud as I'm talking to you. "Go talk to him." So those excuses, how do I even start? And I walked, I carried my meal so ashamed, and I walked to him. And I say, "Excuse me, can I sit?" He say, "Oh, yeah, sure, sure." And I'm thinking, "Please, I wish you said no, get out of here." "Oh, yeah, yeah, sure." "Say, my name is Reuben." "Say, my name is Jason." "Oh, good. I come from Kenya." "Good. So what brings you to the United States?" So I had to start. I said, "The Lord told me to talk to you." And he broke and started crying. He said, "Reuben, my life is rough. I don't know what to do with my life." I said, "I know. Jesus wants your life." We didn't even talk for 2 minutes. I have never seen this. He literally pushed his meal aside. He stretched his hand. He said, "Pray with me." And I led him to Jesus in a Burger King. On Friday night. Some of you would say, please, Lord, don't do that to me. That's so embarrassing. It is. But after you pray, you think, whoa, I'm so glad he embarrassed me. A soul has been won to the kingdom of God. And I came back to the States. I followed Jason, and he goes, hey, Reuben, I think the Lord is calling me to the ministry. Ooh, that's better than Burger King, my friend. That's better than Double Whopper with cheese. I know I'm making you hungry now. I'll let you loose in a few minutes. But Gideon, you know, sometimes we feel we have so many Gideons in the church today. Lord, me, I think I can come to church. But Lord, me, don't let me do nothing. You know, sometimes I think when we get to heaven, we have so many questions to answer. What did you do with that person at the gas station that I told you to just say hi and talk to them? There's a guy here in the U.S. I've watched his videos while in Kenya. I don't know where he is from. And I've seen him say, I'll give you $20 if you give me a scripture in the Bible. And people don't know the Bible. I was even shocked when he gave $20 to one guy and said, I'll give you $20 if you give me one scripture. He said, oh my God, and I just came from church this morning. Duh, what was the scripture the pastor preached? And I'm thinking, we need to get out of the Gideon mentality. And let's embrace what God says about us. We are powerful, we are capable, we have an investment within us. We can change this world while still living in Womelsburg, Pennsylvania. It is possible. Who would have known 10 churches would have started in Turkana with the refugees? People who feel rejected and left out. People who left home and they have no family. I talked to some of them and they say, when we ran from Somali, from Sudan, from Congo, from wherever, there are all kinds of people there. I don't know where my sister is, my brother is, I don't know. In fact, I had to do a funeral for some of them whose father died, and I had to do the funeral for the father, and they took the whole family, went to Netherlands. You know, they picked them from the refugee camp and take them to the U.S., to Europe, all over, and Canada. The mother is in Canada. The kids are in Netherlands, but the father passed away, and they say, Bishop, please do a funeral for our father. Died on the way coming, suffered, walking and hiding in the bush, get to Nairobi, he's so sick, couldn't survive and died. And sometimes you are the man or the woman God is looking at to be the answer to your neighbor or to someone. And in this Christmas, as we celebrate, think of someone, even this Thanksgiving, someone who just needs your smile. Gideon is hiding. The Midianites are attacking. I call them 100,000 demons attacking Israel, stealing from them. And the devil has stolen joy and peace and faith from a lot of Christians today. You know, I asked myself when we were over COVID, by faith, we are over. If Jesus showed up then, how much would I have done for him by then? What would I have presented to him that day and say, welcome thou good and faithful servant. You know, my grandfather died 2 years before I got saved. And that's one man who preached to me. He was a founder of a denomination in Kenya that still is. Kept preaching, and there are two statements. If you remember my first testimony years ago, there are two statements my grandfather would tell me every time he came home. Grandson, I hate to see what I see in you wasted. But I hated the second statement because I hated preachers. Stop running away from the call of God in your life. Oh, I hated that. So I see him coming, he's walking, he's weakly, he's walking with a walking stick. I could tell he's sick. Comes home, I want to greet him. I love my grandfather, I loved him, but I hated what he was telling me. He greets everybody, and then he always greeted me last, and he say, "Grandson, I hate to see what I see in you wasted. Stop running away from the call of God in your life." And I ran out. I was a young man. I ran outside. I didn't want to hear it. Around lunchtime, I'm coming back to the house. No one is home. My mother is not there. Grandpa is not there. And ask the neighbors. They say, "Your mom rushed your grandpa to the hospital." I ran. And when I got to the hospital, it wasn't that far. I ran. And I saw my mother coming out, and she was crying. And I knew something is wrong, so I didn't talk to her. I walked straight and I talked to the doctor and say, "So and so." He said, "Yes." I walked in that bed. He had passed away. I sat down next to that bed, and every word that man talked to me started ringing. "Stop running away from call of God. I hate to see what I see in you wasted." I was like Gideon. I don't see it myself. I don't like preachers. 2 years later, I gave my life to Christ. No? And that man went before he saw his prayers answered. When that trumpet sounds and it's time to go home, I'll look for Jesus. And after that, I'll look for Grandpa. And I'll tell him, "Thank you. Your prayers were not wasted. I'm here. I preached. I planted churches. I started a network of pastors in my house with 5 pastors. Right now, it's an East African thing. It's all over Africa with over 3,000. When I get home that Saturday, we are consecrating another bishop who is joining us with the Bethesda Pastors Fellowship. It's growing. It's been a joy to see pastors who want to quit the ministry. They're tired, they're frustrated, they're discouraged. They don't know. We have had a lot of churches close 2020 and 2021. They closed, they're not meeting anymore because the place, the premises they used were rented, and the owners took them and started businesses. We are blessed in Cornerstone. We have no excuse. But I pray that God will get the Gideon spirit out of you and say, "You mighty warrior, I believe in you. I have faith in you." Shall we stand and pray together? Are you where you're not supposed to be, like Gideon? God is finding you there, saying, "I don't care where you are. I'm coming to you because I love you and I believe in you. And I have faith in you." Father, we thank you this day. Oh God, we thank you for the promise of your word. There are people here who just feel like Gideon. Where are the miracles? Where is God? Where is what is happening? This situation that surrounds me, I feel like I need to hide it from the Midianites. There are people here fighting demons and spirits, and they don't understand. But Father, your promise is true. And you promised Gideon, and you're promising us this morning, "I will be with you. I will walk with you. I will fight those battles for you. And I will give you the victory," says the Lord. "I will help you. I will stand with you." And I feel God is speaking to some of us saying, "Mighty warrior, I will be with you." God is promising his presence, like we sang the first song this morning, "Your presence, Lord." And that presence with you makes all the difference. So, Father, I pray that you'll empower each one of us to make use of the investment you have given to us of faith, and let the world around us and the world all over taste the investment of the faith you have deposited in and through us. In Jesus' name.